This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome into the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck and I'm your host for this first hour. It was another crazy week that is nearing the end of what is going to go down as one of the most wild months in history for markets and, quite frankly, for individuals, as most of us are pretty much locked up at home with very little to do outside, and some of you in some parts of the world can't even go outside. Focusing this first hour on exclusively the carryover effects to the economy from this shutdown that we are all experiencing on a personal level, on a city level, and even up to a country level. So I am going to have a number of different comments from analysts about how they see things changing even when we turn the corner from this coronavirus scare. I'm kicking off the show with Peter Book. Peter is the Chief Investment Officer over at Bleakley Advisory Group. Peter, we got some news or data points this week out of just how many people applied for jobless claims in the U.S. and in Canada. It was almost 5% of the workforce in Canada, and in the U.S. it was a number, 3.2 million, that was, well, far exceeding anything that we have ever seen before. Take us through where you see some of the future data going and, quite frankly, just how devastating this is for the economy.
Well, the news flow is going to be awful for the next couple of months. It'll be terrible for on the patient count and certainly with the economic impact, but we shouldn't expect otherwise when you shut down the entire world. So this is what you're going to get. It's a self-imposed recession that we need to start at some point balancing out the need to start to reopen things, but of course with the health focus being very much important. I think the next 3 weeks will be really key in terms of the getting deeper into the shutdown. Now, I know different states are doing it in the U.S. in different ways and in staggered fashions, but it does pretty much seem that most of the country is sort of in this lockdown, and hopefully that the patient counts start to peak out in 3 weeks. And New York being a bad case, that seems to be what people are forecasting. Every day that goes by, more and more test kits are getting out there, more gowns, more ventilators, more hospital beds. So hopefully we are getting to a better place as each day passes, even though obviously it's painful to see the lives that are being lost. But as I said, we're going to reach a point where late April, early May, we're going to have to start pivoting and making a decision about how we start opening things up again. I think it's going to be in a very fragmented way. I think that people are going to have to adjust to a new lifestyle of walking outside and wearing a mask and going out for dinner and having a table no more than four people, and your server coming over wearing gloves and a mask, and less tables in the restaurant so we aren't as close to each other. A lot of things are going to change until we get this vaccine or until we get more therapies that will allow us to treat this better when someone gets it.
Yeah, it's a tough discussion right now, weighing the medical implications, but also the economic implications. But I'm with you. Eventually, sooner rather than later, we are going to need to get back to work and get the economy back going, even though it might be at a much slower and more restricted pace. Let's focus on the businesses first and foremost, because governments in Canada, the U.S., and really around the world are working to shore up money. We still don't know how it's going to look, but whether they that comes in interest-free loans or simply just handouts. Do you see the small businesses being able to survive, or are we just moving into a world here where it's going to be major, large corporations that dominate our landscape?
I hope so. I hope a lot of these small businesses can make it through. And that's why the discussion at the end of April is going to be so heated, because we need to have these small businesses survive. We need them to be in business. And what I think is going to have to happen is people that are sick, people that are older with existing conditions, they're going to have to quarantine longer. But those that are healthy are going to have to start making the transition to getting out there. And yes, some of us are going to get it. Maybe a lot of us are going to get it, but hopefully all of us are going to, you know, heal within a week, and we can start to build some herd immunity and antibodies, and life can resume again. This is not going to be an easy balance. It's still going to be a very highly disruptive life, and there's going to be a lot of unfortunate stories that we're going to hear. But, you know, there's a huge amount of health destruction by collapsing the economy, and that will be unfortunate as well, whether it's opioid abuse or suicides or heart disease or whatever from the stress of what is going on. Again, it's not going to be an easy discussion, but it's something that we're going to have at the end of next month.
Yeah, it's a scary time for a lot of people, and there are these other health implications that I don't think a whole lot of people are paying attention to that come from keeping everybody cooped up at home. I even see the way some people are relating to each other just outside. Even though it's hard to even get outside, people are almost scared of everybody else, which is not a healthy way to live. Let's also get your impression of what central banks and governments are doing. All central banks, it seems like, in all the G10 countries have dropped their interest rates to zero or negative. They're trying to pump as much money into the system. Same with governments. They're trying to pump as much money into individuals and businesses' hands. How do you see this all playing out once we finally do pull ourselves out of this?
Well, hopefully, at least on the government side and the fiscal side, you know, it's about buying time. It's about buying time for those that have lost their jobs, buying time for employees to get back to working and start getting paid again if they were furloughed, buying time for employers to survive. And it's buying time to hopefully the next couple months when we have a better handle on this. There's more containment and there are more test kits and we have a better process about handling this virus. And I'm hoping that the warmer weather also will not stop the spread, but can hopefully dramatically slow it, which would give all of us a chance for a timeout. The Fed side, I mean, between cutting rates to zero, doing the QE and suppressing rates and all the liquidity facilities that they put in place, it's also about unfreezing the freeze that this panic has created. But, you know, God knows where this is going to all end up when they are such a large part of the Treasury market, such a massive player in the mortgage-backed security market, where they're buying such a huge multiple of new issuance and really crushing that market, not in a good way. That's going to have major long-term consequences. But I guess that's a discussion for another day.
Yeah, that's a broad discussion right there. How about comparing different governments and their actions? Because they all seem to be reading off about the same playbook right now.
Well, it's just throw a lot of money at the situation to buy us time and keep rates in check and hopefully get us further along in fighting this virus.
All right, Peter, we're going to wrap it up there. Boy, oh boy, these are some interesting times that we are living through. For anyone who wants to follow along with Peter and his daily writings, you can check out the Book Report website, which I will post a link to in the weekend show posting. Also, for everyone listening on the radio, be sure to check out our website for the extended interviews on this weekend show. There's so much to cover that I think every one of these segments is going to run over our radio time slot. Peter, great chatting with you. Thanks for taking some time, and I hope you have a good weekend.
Yep, thank you for you too.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNlife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNlife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNlife.com or 844-443-6637.
Attention, fellow Americans. We are now at an all-time high risk of illnesses due to pathogens and viruses. So it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. Do it with new nanocolloidal silver from Americare. Using a patented process with tiny silver particles 1/100th the size of a red blood cell that allows for maximum absorption, Americare's nanocolloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it inhibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever at around a dollar a day. But supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment, we are going to continue this theme for the whole first hour, which is the economic impact of this coronavirus and some of the government policies to essentially shut cities, provinces, states, and countries down. I am chatting with Chris Temple, founder and editor of the National Investor, and Chris also joins me on a daily basis to recap market moves and really try to make sense of what's going on for these markets. Chris, let's get your opinions. First and foremost, a lot of the world has been in lockdown now for at least a week, most of it for over 2 weeks. We've seen full cities shut down, full countries shut down, and we're finally starting to see some, at least short-term, economic data that shows just how devastating this has been. As we talked about in the first segment, about 3.3 million jobless claims came into the U.S. In Canada, it was about 1 million, which was 5% of the work population. Take us through your thoughts on just how bad this data could get.
Well, it's going to get much worse. We're going to have a string of weeks, Corey, where we see two commas in the claims for new unemployment benefits here in the U.S., almost 3.3 million, as you said, this week. We're going to get a string of numbers like that. It may slow down at some point as some of these things that the government down here is trying to do get some traction, and companies and small businesses included get some kind of a safety net to where they're going to get some bridge loans and grants, and if they keep everybody on the payroll, whether or not their businesses is open or not, then those things will be, those debts and whatnot will be forgiven. So, you know, the government basically is through, you know, some contortions essentially taking over the payrolls or trying to of a good swath of the country. We'll see how that works out. But no question, we're going to have a string of these. We're going to have a couple of 3 months minimum of the unemployment rate spiking probably more in percentage terms than it ever has.
Chris, how does this carry over to businesses, too? I'm already seeing in my community and some of the small businesses that Shannon and I use for Gigi, they're closed down and they've been sending out emails saying they might not be able to reopen. To me, this is going to be one of those devastating impacts of this shutdown, is that small businesses, no matter what governments do, are either going to come out of this in so much debt or, quite frankly, not come out of this at all. How devastating is that for not maybe just economy numbers, but also for communities?
Well, it's very devastating. You know, one of the things I'm going to be doing aggressively in my own community, and some people who have followed both of us for a while, myself especially, have heard this before, but I'm going to be working aggressively with some people in my community, in my own church, to start resurrecting community currencies and do things within the community to try and soften the blow of what is coming. Because no matter what the Fed does, no matter what the government does, Corey, we are facing, I believe, years of what I've already dubbed the Strange Depression. It's not going to be like it was in the 30s in some respects. In some ways, it will be less bad than then, because the government will be flooding us with money like we've already seen. That will mitigate some of the damage, but it's not going to mitigate all of it. And as things go on, we are going to see small businesses hurt, families hurt, communities hurt. Unfortunately, one of the consequences of this is that a lot of small retailers, and this is a trend that's been going on my entire lifetime, as well as yours, of course, you're going to see small businesses go by the wayside. And, you know, the big box stores and the big internet retailers and stuff, you know, they all get bigger and bigger as a result, because they can survive this when local businesses can't. So it's a sad thing. I'm going to do what I can as an activist and an expert on money and local networking to try and help in my area and where my family lives up north. But, you know, it's not a pretty picture.
No, it really isn't. And one other thing to consider, too, is that even with these spending programs that the governments are coming out with, the governments around the world are starting to come out with, I do still see a lot of these businesses, even if it is 0% loans, they're still going to come out of the back end of this with more debt. That's even the same with personal or individuals as well. If it's mortgages or whatever they're fighting with, I do see just kind of a broad sense of businesses to individuals carrying more debt at the back end of this. What are your comments and thoughts on this?
Well, I agree. You've got that situation. You're going to have a lot of areas of the economy that will never come back. I was talking to a guy the other day who works in an area that would be called very discretionary as far as consumer spending. You know, you're going to want to stick with bread and butter things. You're going to want to stick with meat and potato things. A lot of discretionary spending will never come back. People this last week who have chased cruise lines and airlines higher, they better realize that they need to have a foot near the exit door, treat these things as a trade, and get right back out. At the very least, a lot of these industries that get bailed out are going to be so diluted in their common shares when it all is said and done that we may never see a place where some of them recovered the high stock prices they had just a couple months ago. Worse still, business-wise, and this is going to be across, you know, the spectrum of businesses, some worse than others, people are going to pull their horns in after this, especially if we're going to go into the late spring and early summer. Damage will have been done to people's psyches, to their lifestyle, and stuff like that. You know, I, Corey, and you may be a generation different than me, I can remember my grandparents talking to me about how they had to tighten their belts during the Depression of the 1930s, how lifestyles and attitudes changed. Some of those people alive today, to this day, still have those conservative and frugal ways. This generation today, people alive today, will be adopting to one extent or another that same attitude, which is not going to be the stuff of having a V-shaped or even a U-shaped recovery for either the markets or the economy. It's not all going to be bad. There's going to be some good things that have happened. I've got a couple recent reports on my website to talk about that. We are going to see some businesses thrive that are best positioned to move quickly to bring supply chains back to the U.S. or, broadly speaking, to North America. We are going to see businesses that cater to the basic needs of people do better as a lot of discretionary things fall by the wayside.
Well, that is optimistic. I agree with you. There will be some positive changes to come out of this, but for all those people that are making the comments that the economy is going to snap right back whenever we come out of this, I don't see that happening. But that's also because I see this shutdown essentially lasting at least a couple more months, best case scenario. I hope it doesn't, but that is the way that I see this happening. All right, Chris, we're wrapping it up there. Thanks for your comments today on this weekend show. And you know what? I'm going to continue this conversation trying to make light or at least make some sense of what we could be in for in the long-term sense here. Chris, thanks for your time. Everyone, stick around. I'm going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call, 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Vice President Mike Pence says the coronavirus task force is meeting this weekend to review the numbers and recommend what steps to take next. the president has pushed this week to reopen as much of the country as he can safely.
I certainly want to get it open as soon as possible. I don't want it to be long, but we also want it to open safe.
The new stimulus bill will send resources to healthcare providers and money to families and individuals who've been laid off during the outbreak. The president says many companies are pitching in to help.
We've had tremendous results on the respirators. We've had great results on just about everything we're talking about. Boeing just announced that they're going to be making the plastic face shields, the actual shields, which are hard to come by, and they're going to be making them by the thousands a week.
This is USA Radio News.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing on with the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report and continuing on with our theme of the economic consequences or the damage to the economics or to the economies around the world that is going to happen due to this coronavirus and, quite frankly, the shutdown pretty much around the world. I'm chatting with Mark Chandler, managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex. Now, Mark, let's start off with economist predictions. We've talked a lot about markets and what they're predicting, but we can also look at what economists are predicting in terms of downgrades to GDP, both in the U.S. and, quite frankly, around the world, and tie that in with some of the jobless data that we got this week. Let's start off, though, with some of the predictions that you are watching. Where are you seeing somewhat of a consensus being when we finally get through this coronavirus scare?
Yeah, that's a good point. So I think that a lot of economists, they're sort of shading down their Q1 GDP forecast, but the bulk of the economic hit is expected in the second quarter. And most of that's going to be front-loaded, people think, into the, say, April, maybe into the May period. So it looks to me like economists are sort of a consensus is forming. It's a wide consensus, and I'd say most people are looking at a contraction on a quarter-over-quarter basis of somewhere between 5 and 10%. Now, there's some reports out there, like we had St. Louis Fed President Bullard talk about a 50% contraction. And what that means really is the quarterly number gets annualized. That's typically the way the U.S. and a few other countries reports GDP figures, a quarterly figure, then annualize it to get an annualized rate. And it might be more misleading this time to think about a 50% contraction in the U.S. economy, and more thinking, say, a quarterly over quarter number would seem to be a more accurate description in the current context than an annualized number. So I'd say that the generally speaking, the high frequency data that we get is going to be less significant. I think everybody is well aware of the direction the data is going to be going. And what's important, is I think is a big picture, is how big of a contraction and how much of that loss of income is going to be able to be replaced in a timely fashion by the government.
Now, the government, that's one argument, or that's one aspect of this, and also the central banks are another aspect. On Friday, we had the Bank of Canada cut rates again. I think almost all the G10 countries are at zero or negative rates, and now we're also going to see governments step up their funding in Canada. They're fighting over a spending bill right now. The U.S. just passed a spending bill. All this seems like it's going to be building more debt on government's balance sheet, also on corporations' balance sheet. How do you find that this will impact longer term the economies, both domestically and globally?
Well, you're right that to get out of this, to address the economic shock that's coming, governments are going to issue more debt. At the same time the government's going to issue more debt, it's like, who's going to buy it? The central banks. And this is why in some ways, even though people want to deny it and sort of poke fun of it, I think, in the markets, there is something to the sort of backing into, if you will, modern monetary theory that basically says that there's not the kind of limits on federal spending as people like to think. That is to say, federal spending isn't really financed by tax revenues. And going forward, I mean, what this means, I think, is that if the Federal Reserve, for example, has an open-ended QE program, open-ended amount of treasuries they're going to buy. And we know this, say that the government has to borrow the full $2 trillion that this latest bill is over. How much is the treasury going to buy? Last week, I should say, this week that's ending, it looks like they bought over $500 billion worth of treasuries. And the week before, almost $300 billion worth of treasuries. So I'd say that our biggest problem in the near term is not going to be who's going to buy U.S. bonds or who's going to buy Canadian bonds, who's going to buy the debt or the inflationary implications that some people are seeing. The first shock is going to be the economy shutting down. Large parts of them. Think about some of the numbers we saw this recently, right? Canadian initial jobless claims, as it were, averaging, say, 30, 40,000 or so, some movement around there. And we got almost a million this past week. And the U.S. record weekly initial jobless claims is, I don't know, something like 680,000 or something like that kind of magnitude. We got 3.1 million. And that's not the peak yet. We're still going to have another big jump. And so I think that the first order of business has been addressing the economic hit that's going to come, and then also making sure that the circuit of capital, by that I mean that banks can lend money, that corporations can have some kind of forbearance on paying debts, that there's a liquidity in the system. And I think that that was the major issue for central banks, making sure that capital markets and the banks are functioning during this economic hit. So to avoid turning a liquidity crisis into a broad solvency problem.
Now, do you see the banks being set up okay to continue to weather this storm? Simply because a lot of people are thinking, you know, 2008, that was the great financial crisis, but that was so much focused on the banks and the mortgage system. This is an entirely different issue.
Yeah, I fully agree. I think that's why when we think about trying to distinguish between what's happening now and what happened then, a couple of important points I'd say. One is this is an economic crisis that's spilling over into the financial sector. The previous crises that we've lived through, the 08-09 crisis, the tech bubble, savings and loan crisis, these were financial crises and like at the heart that later had an economic impact. And what that means is that in 08-09, the big problem that central banks had to be concerned about was counterparty risk. Nobody could trust their neighbor. That is, no bank can trust another bank. They didn't know what was on the balance sheet. This is not that kind of problem. And because it's not about what you've got on your balance sheet, It means that moral hazard issues are not constraining behavior. So I think that a huge step forward is being taken in, and the speed by which it's being done and the breadth of it. So this time I'd say, to your point, that the banks are not the center of focus, so they are getting help, of course, through all kinds of different provisions, but that it seems to me that central banks around the world are looking to help, as well as governments are trying to help small, medium-sized businesses. They didn't seem to get much focus in 2008-09. Also, direct payments to consumers or households. This is not just in the U.S., but other countries are also looking at direct payments to the household, almost like a universal basic income. So it's an emergency, of course. And the other element here, I think, is the in addition to small, medium-sized businesses and the check directly to individuals, I think that we're also seeing a greater willingness to underwrite parts of the economy that weren't helped before, like in the U.S., state and local governments. Same thing in Canada, where the provincial debt now can be used as collateral. So I think we're seeing a broadening of different sectors that weren't so much helped before or being helped this time.
Do you think that's actually going to save these small and medium-sized businesses? I'm looking around what's happening in Vancouver, and even though they will get some potentially free money, it sounds like a lot of these companies have some bills to pay, and they can't afford to come out of this in a month or, heaven forbid, longer than that with the large debt loads.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think that there's going to be that's going to be the sector that's going to be squeezed the hardest, and some of them will survive, but I think that it's really the metric might not be versus how many are there now, but it might be what would have happened if there weren't some of these programs, some of these loan efforts. And so I think you're right. The small, medium-sized businesses like households are the most vulnerable in bad economic times, and they don't share as much in the good economic times.
Mark, great chatting with you. Thanks for taking time on this weekend show. I hope you have a good weekend. I look forward to chatting with you next week, hopefully with some more positive news about this COVID-19 getting behind us. Mark, have a good weekend. Everyone, stick around. I'm going to be right back.
Thank you. Good luck, everybody.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Attention all radio listeners who still need food supplies. If you've thought about the implication of food-related supply chain disruptions and are concerned about the coming quarantines, this will be the most important message you will ever hear. Here's why. In the next few days, all Americans will face extremely hard choices. If we've learned anything from China and Italy, it's that quarantines and enforced lockdowns are just a few days away here in the U.S. Listen, while dehydrated food is becoming scarce, you can still get enough open pollinated heirloom seeds to grow a 1-acre crisis garden. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables in the days ahead may actually be the single most important thing you do. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com and watch the new video to understand the nature of the threat. This could be life-saving. Lockdowns can last from 6 to 8 weeks. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports too. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's Dr. Sonia Baccia on The Doctors.
So this is a product we're going to see if it works. It's called Instantly Ageless. And the idea is that it works very quickly. Is you just need a very small amount and then you apply it to areas where you might be a little bit puffy. I have just looked at what's in this product and one of them is something called argireline, which is sort of a darling in dermatology right now. It's a peptide or a protein that actually relaxes the muscle. It's also called Botox in a bottle. The other active ingredient in this is silicates, which almost act like a clay. They're minerals, and they're making the skin sort of tighter. It's actually increasing the surface tension on the skin to push that herniated fat pad back.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We are wrapping up the first hour of the weekend edition with one of my favorite guests and a guest that I get a lot of positive emails about, Rick Bensignor. He is the president of Bensignor Investment Strategies, writes his institutional newsletter called Supposedly Irrelevant Factors, which is read by some of the largest and most successful hedge funds in the world. And Rick, continuing on with the theme of this weekend show, is the economic and personal consequences of what this shutdown is doing to a wide range of people. I haven't had the chance to ask anybody yet, but when it comes to the institutional side of things, how these large funds are dealing with this shutdown, what insights can you give us in this area?
Well, Corey, thanks for having me on. Institutions are trying to run business as normal, but business as normal is now having at least half the staff at home. And depending upon where these firms are located, sometimes it's virtually the entire staff. So it's a very new situation. There are times before, post 9/11, there are a few times that we've had this kind of work at home situation, but it's been very short lived. And depending upon where you live in the country, now it's starting to get a little wary for people. We've been here in New York. It's a couple of weeks already. You've got significant change in people's attitudes about things. One of the economic conditions that may become apparent after this is that certainly companies may realize that they can actually operate decently and efficiently with workers being remote, and that could change the landscape of commercial real estate in major cities, as companies may realize that they don't necessarily have to have all the employees housed in a large building or skyscraper, depending on, of course, the size. But it'll be interesting to see what comes of this as far as how companies look at having all the employees together going forward. As far as institutional money managers, they're still trying to get some stuff done in the marketplace, especially with the huge swings, but the liquidity becomes a huge factor And this and liquidity has dried up significantly. Here, let me just give your listeners an example of the extent of how much what's occurred in the last month has affected the liquidity in the markets. Take something like S&P futures, which is one of the most liquid instruments out there, trades 23 hours a day, except for Saturdays, and typically would have between, I'd say on average, 500 to 1,000 contracts bid for and offered for, and offered at, rather, at every tick up and down. So this is a very deep liquid market. For the bulk of this week, I would say you've seen single-digit bid and offer, sometimes double-digit, but extremely rare to see triple-digit. And things have just, you know, come to a standstill. So if an institution is trying to do something large, that's why you're seeing some of the huge moves that we are in the market, because there's the derivatives market has dried up significantly. A lot of the algo traders, the algorithmic high-frequency traders, have been closed down either by the head of the company saying, I don't want to partake and have our computers running in markets that move 50 S&P points in 4 minutes, or because they were forced to close down because they got hurt so badly in some of these massive swings. So as best as you can tell, I'm right here now in my office looking at, you know, quote boards. Now, of course, it's Friday late in the day, so I don't expect to see much, but there are markets deep like gold that right now is literally one lot bid for and one contract offered with a 40-cent spread, and yet the market is still open. I mean, you just never see stuff like this. So for institutions to get anything done, they are pushing the market up and down significantly depending upon if they're buyers or sellers themselves. So there's a lot of slippage going on now. And this is something that I was on Bloomberg TV Monday, and I mentioned this, and then one of their reporters followed up and did a whole story based upon the fact that futures markets have seen tremendous liquidity drying up, and that's part of the reason why we're seeing such huge moves in the underlying indices, or the gold market, or, you know, anything else you're trading basically has gotten ultra thin. So that to me is the biggest influence on institutions right now, is if they're trying to do something with size, how much they're going to affect the price of an index.
Very interesting comments and good example of just how much liquidity has dried up, and that relates directly to this just crazy volatility that we're seeing. And that's why I think what you do in terms of your newsletter, you pay attention to behavioral finance and economics. So you're using human psychology and emotions and how this relates to moves in the markets with all this fear about developments and uncertainty about COVID-19 around the world, plus the market still being open, so people still trying to trade and manage their portfolios. How does all this just throw even more fear and more volatility into these markets?
Well, there's no doubt that there's tremendous fear driving the market right now, and so much so that it overcomes rational thinking. And one of the things I was saying a couple nights ago, I was being interviewed by a Singapore radio station that is kind of like their morning talk show, but they do once an hour, they do, I think, 5-7 minutes on the business side. And they were asking me about this, and I said, the most important thing for investors right now is two things. One is not to listen to anybody who tells you with assuredness what's happening or going to happen, because they're just, in my eyes, kind of snake oil salesmen. Nobody has a clue. And you can tell this by the day-to-day movements in the market. So when somebody comes across with a very definitive, this is what's going to happen in the market type view, I would suggest you kind of go the other way, because that person is taking a guess. They don't know anything more than anybody else knows right now. The government doesn't know a heck of a lot because this is new to all of us. I do listen to Dr. Anthony Fauci. He seems to be the one guy who, you know, has the best handle on this, but virtually anybody else who comes across with definitive statements, I'm going to mostly go the opposite direction. Secondly, is not to get emotionally involved, as difficult as that is, in looking at the account balance of your 401k, retirement plan, or any type account you have that's invested in the market, because it's going to have you make irrational decisions generally at the worst times when you feel maximum pain and you simply can't handle the pain of a loss anymore and you finally say, okay, that's it, I'm getting out. That's usually very close to the bottom. In fact, Monday when I was on Bloomberg TV at 8 a.m. Eastern time, I was telling people that I was buying the market that day because from everything I could see and judge and measure, there was blood in the streets, and that was the time to actually come in while other people were calling for depression. And Bill Ackman last week, you know, using the word depression, and, you know, I think that was last Wednesday or Thursday, so a couple days later, it's really building up that the fear was immense. Had noticed some signals using models we use that help generate not only exhaustion of trend, but where fear is the most intense. So I told people, and I made a public statement, but I also obviously told my institutional clients this is where I'm buying. Last night, as the market was closing, and when I say last night, I'm talking about Thursday session with a very strong up day, where they really jammed the shorts into the close and the S&P was up huge. I actually shorted Dow futures up there.
All right, Rick, we are wrapping up this weekend show. Thank you for your time. I appreciate everybody else who tuned in this weekend. Please be sure to go back and listen to the many daily editorials that I did over this week, trying to make sense of these crazy moves, but really you just need to keep somewhat of a level-headed approach to everything. Don't get stuck in any positions. And also make sure if you do see some short-term gains, take those profits, because we don't know day-to-day, hour to hour, what the developments are going to be. Rick, thanks again for your time this weekend. I hope you have a great weekend.
You too, Corey. Stay safe.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.